Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our live broadcast. We are continuing on with study of the Anguttara Nikaya, Book of Ones. Today's quote, sutta is, or vagga actually, it's a whole chapter. Very short, what you might call suttas, but each one is only a couple of sentences. And this is on the five hindrances. The five hindrances are they're one of the staples of the meditation practice. The first things you have to know in your practice of insight meditation or any type of meditation. In fact, they're essential for success in any realm, meditative or otherwise. Their designation as hindrances means they get in your way, they obstruct, they prevent success, they prevent progress, they inhibit, they keep you stuck. Niwarana, we talked about these. Niwarana. We talked about these, I think. It was earlier, was it on the broadcast, I think? The word niwarana, it means it keeps you back, holds you back, keeps you from attaining your goals. You see, you just see this most clearly in meditation. You're training the mind, and you're cultivating clear and profitable states of mind. So you see quite clearly the things that are preventing you from having a clear mind. There are five hindrances, and they're essential learning for a new meditator. It's essential that you're able to recognize and to overcome five hindrances. So there are different ways of dealing with each of the five hindrances. As with everything, there's the conventional methods, and then there's the ultimate, the methods based on ultimate reality. So there are conventional methods, like eat less and you'll be less tired. It's conventional. It's not based on the moment-to-moment experience. In moment-to-moment experience, really, is much more simply to do with how mindful you are. As you're more mindful, you cultivate all the wholesome qualities that are necessary to overcome the hindrances. But it's interesting to single out the cause and the cure for each of the hindrances, because they have different qualities, and therefore different causes and cures. So the Buddha says, Nahang bhikkhave anyang ekadammang. I don't see samanupasami, I don't see one dhamma, one other dhamma that that causes unarisen, or by which unarisen sensual desire arises, or arisen sensual desire becomes greater. Biyo bhavaya vepulaya sangvatati. So the first one is sensual desire, and he phrases it this way, that there's one thing that that causes the arising of sense desire. It's interesting to know It helps you get to the root of the problem. The central desire, or desire in general, is a hindrance. It prevents you from seeing clearly. It clouds your judgment, partiality. When you like something, you're unable to see whether it's good or bad for you. You're unable to see the true nature of it. Your desire supersedes your reason, your judgment. So it's a hindrance. And so what is the cause of, what is the one dhamma that leads to sense desire, leads to desire? Subha nimitta. Subha means beautiful. Nimitta, again we come up with this word. We had it in the last chapter as well. And keep this word in mind, it's important. This is the mental formation, the construct. Nimitta means sign. So this could be translated as the sign of beauty, subha. Seeing something is beautiful. There's a sign, there's a flag. If you look around you, if you can see this here, look at this. You see, when that comes into view, there arises the sign of beauty. Some people, unless you hate flowers. When it's gone, the sign of beauty disappears. There's a sign, there's a quality. It's not inherent, actually. There's nothing beautiful about flowers, but the mind perceives them as beautiful. Maybe the other things, you see the Buddha statue here, you see my ugly face, and you have the sign of ugliness. Beauty, ugliness, these are in the mind. The mind gives rise to them. You see my face calm, it might seem somewhat attractive, but then if I go like this, and then it suddenly becomes ugly. You see, the sign arises. And it changes in your mind. Your perception changes. It's just a sign. So the sign of beauty, seeing things as beautiful, perceiving things as beautiful, this is what you have to look for. You have to be aware of this perception of beauty. Catch it when it comes. And this is what you see in meditation. You're able to break experience apart moment by moment. As a result, you're able to overcome this. You're able to achieve what is called asubha nimitta, or the absence of subha nimitta. Asubha nimitta is conventionally, asubha means not beautiful. So if you examine something, I mean, take a human for example, right? So you look at a human and you might find them attractive. But then if you focus on the nature of that human form, the unattractive nature of that human form, it changes your perception. So if you look at hair on the head, facial hair, skin. If you focus on these things, you start to see that actually there's nothing beautiful about it, right? Skin, teeth. You look at a tooth and you think about it, the beauty disappears. Nails. Maybe nails are beautiful, but if you examine them, if you focus on them, it's a conventional way of sort of counteracting our attachment to beauty, to learn to see the ugliness in things. But asubha nimitta can also mean the lack of, you know, seeing things as not attractive, simply not attractive. You know, it means looking at things in such a way that they're no longer attractive. Not ugly, but to see things impartially. So when you say to yourself, seeing, seeing, It really is just seeing the subhanimitta, asubhanimitta. No beauty or ugliness arises. There's nothing beautiful about things. I guess the real takeaway from this is that it's not the thing itself that's beautiful. It's the concept in the mind, or the conceiving in the mind of something as beautiful. Number two, vyapado, ill will or aversion. Well, ill will is the other hindrance. When you something arises and you're upset about it, or you don't want something to arise, vyapado is technically in regards to people. It means you don't like someone. If you're angry at someone, this is a hindrance. But it can be referring to any kind of experience. It doesn't have to be a person. Maybe the birds chirping outside that make you angry. Maybe the room around you. Maybe your own body makes you angry. Maybe the pain you experience makes you angry. Anger, really, is what's meant here. Anger is a hindrance. Anger gets in the way. It gets in the way of not only meditation practice, but success in a worldly sense. Just as desire does. If you're obsessed with getting things, that gets in the way of your goals and your ambitions, as well as in meditation. If you're angry about something, that also saps your energy and takes you away from your focus. Both of these destroy your focus, and they sap your energy. So they keep you from attaining your goal. They're the real enemy. Pain isn't the enemy. No. The enemy is disliking, is aversion. But anger, this is anger, and the cause, the one Dhamma that the Buddha says, Nahang bhikkhave anyang dhammam eka dhammam. There's no other besides this one Dhamma. And that is the patighanimitta. Patighanimitta, nimitta again, here it can't be translated as sign. It means nimitta, we have to translate it as the conceiving or the mental construct. Mental construct of patigha. Patigha means aversion. When you're averse to something, unarisen anger will arise, and arisen anger will become worse, will become stronger. If you're angry at someone, something, if you're angry already and then you experience something with aversion, the anger gets worse. Suppose you're already angry and then someone starts blaring their music in the next room. If you're averse to that, it feeds your anger. But of course, anger that hasn't arisen arises because of aversion. Patigha is the jetasika, it's the quality of mind inherent in any anger. And so if you want to understand anger here, you have to understand that it's based in aversion. It's based in an object that you perceive, that you conceive of as unpleasant. You conceive of it with displeasure, with aversion. Simple as that. I mean, this isn't really all that profound. It's just, it's incredible in its ability to make things so simple, keep things so simple. The Buddha's teaching is quite practical and down to earth. Simple, really. If you read it, it sounds like it's must be missing something. We don't realize how simple reality is. And so as a result, when you're angry, we try to figure out, you know, why we're angry, or was I maybe abused as a child or so on? Was my father maybe an angry, so it may be genetics, you know? So you think this is simple. You think this is perhaps simplistic. It's because we have all the, you know, we're far too complex. We go way beyond the truth. We ignore the simple reality Why are you angry? Because you have aversion. You've cultivated a habit of aversion. And so our meditation practice is very much about realigning our minds, retraining our minds, cultivating new habits of objectivity, clarity. So what is it that, what is the one Dhamma that helps anger to subside? Metta jeto vimutti. Metta, friendliness. Friendliness is the one Dhamma, but again this is conventional. But it makes metta, friendliness, a very useful practice. Because